1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 is a strong passage about false teachers and false teaching. Let's read beginning in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. John said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." John says, don't believe every spirit. The word spirit here does not mean a ghost. This does not mean an evil spirit. John is not talking about demons here. The word spirit simply refers to a person. The spirit or the soul of man is the real essence of a human being. And so sometimes the Bible simply refers to people as souls or spirits. In Romans 13, verse 1, the Bible says, "Let every soul be subject to the higher powers." In that passage, the word soul refers to people in general, human beings. And here, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we find the word spirits used in the same way. John is talking about the fact that we don't need to believe everything that we hear. We don't need to believe everything that we read. We don't need to believe every spirit or every person. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul used the word spirit in the same way. And he cautioned the people not to believe something and not to be moved away from the truth just because they heard it from a certain spirit. That simply means a person. And it's obvious that he's talking about people here because he goes on to say, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So he's not talking about demons and evil spirits. He's talking about actual human beings. He's talking about people. Notice that he says, believe not every spirit, but try, that is, test the spirits, whether they are of God. Test these people to see if they're actually from God and speaking in behalf of God. The Bible shows that we have the obligation, not just the opportunity or the privilege, but the obligation to test what we hear. God does not expect us to believe something just because some man said it, even if that man is a likable, charismatic man who is a good speaker. Even if that person who happens to be teaching a religious doctrine is close to us or is related to us, the Bible tells us to test what we hear. In Acts 17, verse 11, the Bible says that Paul and Silas taught the word in Berea, and the people searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. The people in Berea did not simply take Paul and Silas at their word simply because they were religious teachers that happened to come into their city. They looked into the Bible to see if what Paul and Silas agreed with the scriptures. Acts 17, verse 11. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul said, prove, that is, test all things and hold fast that which is good and abstain from all appearance of evil. Paul says that we are to test all things. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, Jesus said that the church at Ephesus had tried, that is, they had tested some who say that they are apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. So in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, the people in the church at Ephesus did exactly what the Bible teaches. There were some men that came to that church and told them that they were apostles. So the church there put them to the test. What test? They put their teaching to the test. They compared what these men were saying with the scriptures, with the gospel, and they found out that these men were liars. There are other tests that we're going to talk about. There are other ways that the Bible speaks of to test people to see if they're true teachers or false teachers. But the main idea that we find in the Bible is that we're to compare the message. We're to compare the teaching of any man to what we actually read in the Bible. Now, Jesus talked about false teachers in the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he said, "To beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Well, if we ask the question, how are we to know when a man is a false prophet? How can we beware of somebody being a false prophet if we don't know what that man is about? Well, Jesus explains, beginning in verse 16. He said, "You shall know them by their fruits." That is, by their life, by their actions. "Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but an evil tree, that is a corrupt tree, brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." You may be looking at that and asking, but don't some false teachers do some good deeds? Don't they do some good for mankind? Don't they sometimes feed the hungry? Don't they sometimes provide clothing for people that need it? They may be benevolent in some ways, but the Bible shows that in this passage, Jesus is talking about the fact that a true teacher will consistently and as a way of life show that he is following and practicing the truth. But a false teacher, even though he may occasionally say and do some good things, as a rule, as a pattern of life, is not going to do that on a consistent basis. That's what he means in verses 15 through 20 in Matthew chapter 7. So the test in that passage in Matthew chapter 7 is to compare these men and their teaching to their lives. And as Jesus said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." So what we have then is in Acts 17, verse 11, the Bible shows us that we ought to look to the Bible to test what any teacher is saying. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, that we ought to look at the lives of those teachers, because by their fruits ye shall know them. Now here in 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, he has a particular test that these Christians were to apply to the false teachers in his day. Remember that there were false teachers in John's day that he refers to as Antichrist. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, he said that there were many Antichrist. Well, how were these Christians to know the identity of these false teachers? He tells us in verses 2 and 3 that there was a specific test that they were to give. He says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God." In other words, you know when a man is speaking by the Spirit of God or in harmony with the teaching of the Spirit of God. "Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." If a man confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he is of God. Now remember, he's applying a specific test here. And you might look at that and say, well, but there are some false teachers that teach false doctrine and live an unrighteous life in other areas that might affirm that. That is true. But remember when he gives this one test here, that really is a part standing for the whole. In other words, this represents the whole of the gospel and not this one particular thing that he's talking about here. And to make that clear, what I'm saying is this. It is possible for a man who is a false teacher to say, "I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe that he came in the flesh," and then he turns right around and denies the resurrection of Jesus or the resurrection of the dead, which Paul says is a false doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. So again, the idea of confessing Jesus here is a part standing for the whole. It represents the entirety of that gospel message. But in particular, he's talking about these false teachers. And he says in verse 3, "Every spirit that does not confess, that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit," the King James has the word spirit in italics here because it's not in the original. So literally in the original, it would say, "and this is that of Antichrist." In other words, this is the nature of a person who is an antichrist. This is the spirit of a person who is that particular kind of false teacher, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. John says, when a man does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, you know that he is a false teacher of the particular kind that he's talking about in this context, and that is a false teacher that he calls an antichrist. So we have a logical test applied. And what this shows is that we should not simply go by our feelings and say, well, I feel like that he's a good man, or I feel like he's telling me the truth. And we should not be naive and gullible because a man is well-spoken, or because he appears to know his Bible, or because he appears to be educated, or because he's charismatic and he's just a good speaker and we happen to be drawn to that man. Those are very dangerous ways of trying to decide whether to believe a man and follow his teaching. The Bible tells us that we need to listen carefully to what a preacher or a teacher says, and then we need to look at the Bible to make sure that he's teaching or preaching exactly what the Bible says, and that he's not adding to it or taking from it. And then, of course, you have the test that Jesus talked about in Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Does his life reflect what he's saying? Now, what we find in the book of 1 John chapter 4 is that he goes on and gives another mark of these false teachers. In verse 4, he goes on to say, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you, that is God, than he that is in the world, that is the devil. Notice verse 5. They are of the world. Who is he talking about when he says they are of the world? He's talking about these false teachers. They are worldly. They are not godly. And he says, therefore speak they of the world. They don't talk about purely religious and spiritual things. They don't focus on heaven. They may mention it. They may talk about it somewhat, but that is not the overriding characteristic of their preaching and their doctrine. John says, these false teachers are of the world. They speak of the world. That's how they preach. That's how they talk. And that's how they teach. And, he says, the world hears them. Now, notice the difference. The world listens to these false teachers because these false teachers are telling people what they want to hear. They're telling these people that they can do what they want to do. They're giving them license to sin. They talk of the world. Now, the true teacher of God is not going to do that. The true teacher of God is going to tell a man what is right. He's going to tell a man the truth of what the Bible says, even if it steps on his toes and hurts his feelings. But a false teacher is going to try to water down the truth to make it easier to listen to. In John chapter 15, verse 19, here's what Jesus said to the apostles. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, John is writing along the same line here in the book of 1 John, and he tells all Christians in 1 John chapter 3, verse 13, that the world is going to hate us. And that is especially true of preachers and teachers of the Word of God, because preachers and teachers of the Word of God tell people the truth, and the world doesn't like that because they don't want to change. But these false prophets tell people a false doctrine, and people listen to it and follow it by the multitudes. And John says that is an indication of whether a person is teaching the truth or not. In verse 6, he says, we are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.